Eddie Chavez. Ruben Nava. And Jesse Romero. Jesus 911.
Good morning, Jesus 911 on Virgin Most Powerful Radio. My name is Ruben Nava. My partner Jesse Romero is out today doing some apostolic work, but I'm joined today by a good friend of mine, a brother in Christ. His name is Fred Krause. You may have seen him before. He's been on the Terry and Jesse show. You know, Fred has a terrific and wonderful story. Fred is a former Protestant ordained minister. He's also a chaplain with the LA County Sheriff's Department. So we brought him in here today. He's going to be my co-host. He's not on a ride-along. He's going to be up in the front seat with me. We're 10-8, and Fred goes on many ride-alongs, actually, out there on the streets with some of our first responders, our guys out in the trenches out there in Compton. He works with our SWAT guys. And so, I mean, you could see he dwarfs me. He's taking up, if you're watching this on YouTube, he's taking up half the screen here. Fred is also a competitive bodybuilder. He's got his own nutrition company, and we just want to welcome Fred to the show. Good to have you here, Fred. Thanks for joining us today.
Well, thanks for having me, Ruben. I appreciate it. Appreciate the opportunity to be here and share with everyone today.
Yeah, Fred, I wanted to bring you in because of all that's going on in society, and specifically with the demonization of law enforcement. Our first responders are out there, and they're being there's a lack of respect for them, and they're getting verbally abused, if not physically abused, it's not going well, and it's only going to get worse. I think because of our leaders are not standing up for our law enforcement. They're portraying them all with the same brush. We've talked at length about what happened in Minneapolis, and there's not one law enforcement officer that I know that can justify what happened, and we abhor it more than anybody else. So,
amen.
Yeah. So, Fred, tell us about why don't you just tell the faithful here that the people that are we've got a good cast of characters on our that listen to the show, and they're very active on the chat room, and so I'm sure they've seen you before. Fred's given his testimony here at the chapel, and so if you want to get a hold of his testimony, the full-length conversion story, you can get a hold of Terry Barber at St. Joseph Communications and at Virgin Most Powerful as well. So, Fred, tell us a little bit about your upbringing, as it pertained to your faith. Were you raised in a particular denomination? Were you a regular churchgoer?
Well, I wasn't raised in the church. My home wasn't really a Christian home. We believed in God. My dad was born and raised Catholic, but he didn't practice his faith as I was growing up. And my mother was Lutheran, and she didn't practice her faith. It was kind of like a divided household there. But we didn't really talk much about faith at all. We'd go to church on Christmas and Easter, that kind of thing. And we were all baptized into the Lutheran faith originally. I think all my brothers and sisters were. I have three sisters and a brother. And so it really wasn't, a Christian household. We weren't raised that way. So I didn't start going to church until, my sisters got involved in church, and I would go with them and their boyfriends every once in a while, that kind of thing. It kind of dragged me along because I was kind of a rough kid, so they tried to save me. But, ultimately when I became a Christian.
What age was that, Fred?
When you became? About 20 years old. Okay. 20 years old, yeah. I was in the gym. I was already a nationally competitive bodybuilder and was working out hard in the gym, and there was a LAPD crash detective that worked out there. A hardcore guy, power lifter dude, and really admired and respected him. And he invited me to a Calvary Chapel, and I just wanted to go to lunch with him and his wife after. So I was like, man, I'll sit through church to go to lunch with you, you know, that kind of thing. So he drugged me along and actually enjoyed it. And then actually went forward in an altar call, you know, a few weeks after that. And then gave my life to Christ. You know, I'd already been baptized when I was younger, kind of made an adult commitment at that point, and then just got on fire for my faith. And then continued. I was just very zealous and on fire. And that was probably about 1992. Yeah. And then, you know, my training partner and my best friend and most of my other friends became deputy sheriffs around that time. And I was really into the bodybuilding and personal training and that kind of thing. But I had a lot of free time because I was personal training. And back then, it was just a different dynamic than it is today.
Yeah, yeah.
So I would go, I'd go to work with him, you know, several times a week and just go on ride-alongs at the old Lennox station. Okay. So it was pretty fast, you know, it was busy. Mm-hmm. And so that was my first kind of contact with the sheriff's department. That was probably 1995, mm-hmm. somewhere
at,
around
at
there.
At this point, were you involved in any ministries in the Protestant church?
Nothing officially at that point. I didn't get ordained till later, like 2006.
Okay.
But I was always involved in ministry. You know, as a Protestant, I mean, you're always active.
Yeah.
In the evangelical circles, you're active. You're out doing things. You're trying to, you know, share the gospel with people. And, you know, you're doing all kinds of stuff, you know. So yeah. There's no official ministry that you're doing okay. at that point.
And so at what point did you hear the calling, and how did that go to become a chaplain?
Well, you know, when I was out on my rides out at the Lennox station, I was a pretty hardcore guy. Mm-hmm. My dad was a professional fighter. His dad was a professional fighter. And I was a 270-pound bodybuilder, you know, big, strong, could handle my business out there. So the guys, you know, the deputies out there really admired and respected me. And so I got a lot of respect. And I just felt so much good. I kind of saw the inner workings of what this profession does to an individual. You know, what it takes from them, what it takes from just their soul, you know, and what it takes from their families and the things that they sacrifice. And I just, you know, you can get kind of jaded, mm-hmm. you know, and get kind of harsh. And I thought, man, you know what? This is an opportunity for me as a Christian man to share with them that you can still be a hardcore law enforcement officer, handle your business, and still be a loving person.
Amen.
That
yeah.
loves Jesus Christ and love people.
Right. I think my first encounter with you was at in a hospital. One of my former trainees at East LA Station. She had later transferred to Compton, and anyway, her husband was dying of a brain tumor, and you were there on her behalf. She was part of that station you were assigned to, and I showed up, you know, and you probably saw me praying my beads around
that,
the bedside.
Yeah.
You weren't a Catholic, but I kind of got the distinct impression the beads weren't part of your prayer regimen at that point.
That was an interesting, yeah, and I didn't, you know, I remember when we finally met later on, years later, because that was, I think, somewhere around 2006.
Something like
originally,
that.
I was officially a chaplain at that point. And when we met in person somewhere else later.
I think we met at Jesse Romero's house. And we'll talk about your conversion to Catholicism.
Yeah, at least a decade later. So at that point, and you reminded me of meeting you, I'm like, yeah, I remember you, dude.
Yeah.
I remember that because you were praying your rosary there. And I was like, you know, I was like totally anti-rosary at that point. You know, I was like, who is this dude?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that's right. Hey, that's the heathen back there.
What's a crazy guy doing?
Yeah. But Fred, tell the listeners, what are the duties of a chaplain? So, you know, some people might think that you're there for the public, when in actuality you're there for the personnel, the deputies.
Well, each law enforcement agency has different roles for their chaplains as far as, they get involved with. The way that we do it at the Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department is we have our department chaplains, which our primary purpose is to serve personnel. So we're there for the emotional and pastoral needs of the staff.
Right.
And in a critical incident, if a staff needs us to help with the public, or if we see something, we'll help. Obviously, that's our heart. I mean, we're doing this because we love people. But we have local clergy that deal more with the community.
Yeah.
So they don't deal with the...
I believe Sheriff Baca back way back when had, I think in probably around that time, 2005 or so, he was the one that was instrumental in setting up a clergy council. Right. I remember attending one of those meetings down in the Lenox area with Henry Romero. And so I went with him, and we had a table, and Henry's been on our show a couple times, Jesse's brother, and you know, we got to hear for what they were doing for the community using these clergy members. And it actually is a pretty good program because sometimes, you know, they can diffuse a situation, you know, that maybe as a law enforcement officer, we might have that, not have that credibility to do.
We don't have that trust of the community.
Yeah. So that's why they're really important to come and try to calm the nerves, especially in when it's a volatile situation.
Yeah, in Baca's time, we had two different. We had the station clergy, and then we had also the executive clergy. And that was actually disbanded because there were some issues with some of the individuals that were involved there. So they disbanded and were restructuring before he resigned, actually.
Okay. Well, I hear the music, so we're coming up on our first break. Time goes by fast when you're having fun, and I'm having fun with my buddy here, Fred Krause. We are going to come back. We're going to hear his conversion story, you know, just the abbreviated version, and how he became a Catholic. Hold on.
This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for supporting Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And here's an easy way to support us by going to smile.amazon.com and type in Catholic Resource Center or Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And when you log in your Amazon account and you purchase products, a portion of it will go right back in supporting Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And it doesn't cost you a dime. I want to thank you ahead of time because that supports us year-round. May God bless you and your family.
How does the baby move in your tummy?
How does the baby eat?
Can the baby hear me?
How did the baby get in there?
Wow, a pregnancy can sure generate a lot of questions, but what's important is that a baby is a baby, inside and out of the womb, not just after birth, but 9 months before. At conception.
That's right. Every baby is a miracle. Hello, my name is Marianne Kuharski. I'm the director of Pro Life Across America. If you know someone who is pregnant or in need of alternatives or assistance or would like to support the work of Pro Life Across America, please visit our website at prolifeacrossamerica.org or better yet, simply dial #250 on your cell phone and say the keyword pro life. Pro Life Across America is non-political and totally educational.
A baby's heart is beating 18 days from conception. Conception.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow, that's 80%. RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
We are back, Jesus 911. Two-man car. I've got my partner, Fred Krause, the big chaplain. And, you know, I couldn't have thought of a better guy to have in studio with me,
Thanks, brother.
Even though you take up half the studio. Fred's a competitive bodybuilder. He's, you know, don't think that he's that the camera adds 10 pounds. This guy, if that's the case, we've got five cameras on him.
Like 275 yeah. pounds right now.
Yeah. 275. he outweighs me by, 55 pounds. Anyway, Fred, tell the listeners, I mean, you know, it's just the Reader's Digest version of, you know, we can use this segment to talk about your conversion to the Catholic Church and how instrumental was that in what you're doing nowadays. And I know you're very active in your church. You have a good relationship with your parish priest. You're constantly raving about him. He's one of the good guys, man. He's,
amen.
Yeah. And you drive a ways to go to Mass there. So
an hour every morning.
You see, so there's that. Sometimes that's what you got to do, ladies and gentlemen. You know, if your church is not getting it done, they're not giving you the sacraments, preventing you from going to confession and you know, receiving on the tongue if you want that, then you need to look elsewhere. And Fred's found a nice home where he's going to Mass and I don't know, you want to share?
Yeah, it's Mary Star of the Sea Catholic Church in San Pedro. And to everybody's credit, I drive a little bit farther because I'm a chaplain. And as a chaplain, I have a different level of accountability. So I have a spiritual director and he's my priest. So, you know, I'm accountable to him and, you know, what he says goes. So, you know, he's my confessor. You know, so that's where I go. That's where my family goes. And he's one of my best friends in the world. I love him with all my heart. I wouldn't want to be anywhere else.
Did you tell me something that he bench presses something like 300 pounds?
500.
500 yeah. pounds.
He hurt his shoulder. He just had a shoulder replacement. So, but he
won't
was doing
be doing that anymore.
He won't be doing that anymore.
500 pounds. Do you hear that, ladies and gentlemen? A priest benching 500 pounds.
Hey, when you're praying, you got to be serious. You got to be ready.
Yeah.
You got to build it up.
That's amazing. Fred, so tell us, so what brought you into the Catholic Church?
Well, you know, you want to get the testimony from Terry Barber. Definitely listen to my whole conversion because it has a lot of information.
Yeah.
Essentially, I was a very zealous Protestant out there trying to, you know, share the gospel. I thought Catholics were, you know, most of them weren't saved, you know, that kind of thing. And I was praying for a dear friend, and I was in my closet on my knees praying, and God just hammered me in prayer and just started asking me questions when I was alone with him and that I couldn't answer. And got on the phone with Paul Clay, retired lieutenant.
Yes, friend of the show. Yeah.
Yeah, he was a really good friend of mine, and he had been working on me for years, very strong Catholic.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he'd been working on me for years. And I called him, asked him some questions, and then we got connected, and he ended up driving me over to Jesse Romero's house, and then we had a battle out there, you know, which was pretty awesome.
No kidding.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun, you know.
Bible verses back and forth.
Oh, it was intense, man. It was intense.
Really?
I mean, you got three hardcore type A personality guys, and we're just, I mean, we're going at it. You know, and loving, but we were zealous for our positions, you know. We were disagreeing with each other. And, you know, Jesse's not shy. I don't know if you know that.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know if you've seen that.
No, he's not meek.
Yeah. So, and I'm not shy either. So, you know, we were going head to head. So it was pretty awesome. And then I realized just digging farther into the truth, into the history of the church, I knew that I had found the fullness of truth. And then Jesse actually introduced me to my priest. And he met and interrogated me and then received me into the church.
Did Tim Staples have a role also?
Yeah. Because this was a process over time.
Okay.
And Jesse invited me over for a barbecue at the house. And Tim and his wife Val and, you know, all 75 kids.
Bringing the big guns.
Down from San Diego. Yeah. So we're in the pool.
Little did you know they were probably there just to see you.
No, they were.
Yeah.
You know. So, yeah, Jesse called them out. So they're like, hey, we need to spend some time together. And I got this guy I want you to, you know, convert.
Yeah.
You know. So we're in the pool and Tim's just hammering me. And he was just with truth. I mean, what are you going to do when you have the truth? You know, and I was very well versed. I was a Protestant on fire, ordained Protestant minister, was a Protestant. Faithful, hardcore for over 20 years. And I knew my Bible, I knew the Protestant faith, and I was well-versed.
Well, what would you, I'm sure Tim and Jesse were opening up some pages, some scripture that you hadn't heard, or right. maybe you had a different interpretation for those verses. Anything that sticks out? Anything?
Well, one of them that blew me away was there were so many,
yeah.
but I remember sitting at the table at Jesse's house, and we were there from the morning time until like dinner. Anita met us dinner and late morning to dinner. And one, after all that time, there was one verse that was just pounding in my head when I left. And it was Thessalonians, where Paul said, stand firm and hold to the traditions that have been taught to you.
All right.
Either by word of mouth or by our letter. And I was like, wow, how did I never see that?
Yeah.
You know, and it was just those things, you know, when you have your blinders on, it's kind of like what's going on in our society today. People look at things through a certain lens,
yeah,
and they cannot see the truth because they're looking with glasses that they refuse to take off. Mm-hmm. They refuse to take off and just look at it. And it's because the enemy of our souls,
yeah,
you know, the father of lies is just deceiving us. That's what he does.
Yeah, I think some of my Protestant friends have they've taken that word tradition and made it into a bad word, you
right.
know, and it's tradition with a big T, not tradition right. with a little T.
Well,
right?
they conflate it with sacred tradition,
yeah.
and traditions of men,
right?
You know, and sure, traditions of men, you know, they come and they go, but not sacred tradition.
So you're having this time with Tim and Jesse, and at some point. Was there a moment where you said, hey, this is, I've got to do this. That was that you gave your full assent to the Catholic teaching?
Well, there was, you know, when I realized that certain things were absolutely true, you know, the dominoes started to fall. You know, praying to saints was one of them.
Was Mary a big obstacle?
Huge. That was my final obstacle.
Oh, wow.
Right, that I was able to overcome. I mean, and I could share later on some other show my first rosary, how that went. I was just so conflicted praying it, but so amazing. My prayers were answered within 15 minutes. It was crazy, like massive miracle. But so don't ever stop praying your rosary, ever.
You hear that, ladies and gentlemen? This is coming from a former Protestant who wouldn't even think about praying the rosary. He actually looked at me sideways when I was praying mine.
Exactly. I would never do that now. Mama Mary don't like that. See what happens? I looked at you sideways and look what she did.
Yep. Now
now I'm in love with her.
And we're sitting side by side.
Yeah.
So you were received into the church when, Jess, when Fred?
I was just trying to think of that. I think it was 2012. So going on, so this will be my eighth year. It was in September. I was received into the church at the end of September, and then October 6th, I was confirmed during Mass.
Nice.
Yeah, so 2012, I believe.
See, that's a good Protestant. They always remember the day they were saved or they received Jesus into their heart. They always remember that date. You know, we're not
I'll never forget that, man.
That's awesome. So you received into the church, and I remember then the second time meeting you was at Jesse's house. He invited me over. You were going to be there. And he said, hey, I was you can't tell now, but I was a former bodybuilder and a personal trainer, much like Fred. And so we hit it off well, and we've been tight ever since. And you know, you need to associate yourself with other like-minded men. You men, I'm speaking to you men out there, and ladies as well, but it's that circle of influence that the people you get around, you know, you hang around with with five losers or five people that are bashing the church or bashing the country and the flag, and you're going to be the sixth one, okay? But you hang around with five people that are on fire Catholics, you're going to be the sixth one. So that power of association is huge. And
yeah, and you know, and your audience, they may hear this because they hear it so much, you know, they kind of just kind of goes in the back of their mind. But I hear you say it almost on every show that iron sharpens iron.
Yep.
You know, as one man strengthens another. And that is so true. Iron sharpens iron. And if you're not around more iron, you ain't going to be sharp.
Mm. And you want to be pushing some iron too, huh, Fred?
Amen. Heavy iron.
Yeah, heavy iron. And yeah, I've worked out with Fred, and he's using some outrageous poundages. You know, you would make people's bones crunch.
I made my bones stretch.
Yeah, so, some of the weight that he pushes around, it's amazing. So let's kind of switch gears. Well, you know what? There was one part of your testimony that I remember that, Fred, you were really, at some point when we became a Catholic, you had this remorse for leading people away from the Catholic Church, because a lot of those deputies are Hispanic out there, and they are probably Catholic. And could you share that real quick with us?
Well, my heart broke, you know, because I was so zealous. And that's one thing I love about our Catholic faith, is that I always felt like I was ecumenical as a Protestant, that I was inviting to all, and I was willing to, you know, share beliefs, but I wasn't. Mm. I wasn't receiving other people well. You know, as a Catholic, I have a better understanding of God's mercy and his grace, and it's so much greater than what I experienced and learned in the Protestant faith. God is way more merciful and way more gracious than we could ever even imagine. So, you know, just because you didn't pray a certain prayer or do a certain thing doesn't mean that you're outside of God's reach, you know. And as a Catholic, I know that, you know, no matter where you are, if you're on a stranded desert island somewhere in the jungles, trapped somewhere where there's no one else that exists, God can reach you, you know. And I learned that as a Catholic. And so I just more receiving, and I just felt bad because there was people I had in mind that were hardcore Catholics. And I would kind of like throw little digs at them, you know, like challenge, you know, Peter and the keys and that kind of thing. But, you know, when you're friends, you kind of get them, you know, you kind of give them a little snark, you know. It's not like it's just somebody you just meet that you're trying to outreach. But when you got your family and those you're close to, you can kind of poke them a little bit. You know where their buttons are. And, you know, you find yourself doing that, you know, sometimes. It's sad. You know, so I felt kind of guilty that I had tried to pull so many people away, and they were trying to share with me truth. But they weren't real. I mean, they're, you know, they're cradle Catholics. They're not necessarily apologists, so they didn't know how to respond to me.
Okay, yeah.
You know?
So I know that in your testimony, and if you want to get his testimony, you can get it from St. Joseph Communications, and you know, you can call the studio for that. And if you have any questions for Fred, you know, you can call in at 888-526-2151. We'll be right back. Don't change that dial.
Hi, this is Jesse Romero from the Terry and Jesse Show, also from Jesus 911. Let's face it, we all need to use the internet, but we need screen accountability. Why? Pornography is a huge problem, especially on the internet. And every time we tap into the internet, we get bombarded with images and temptations that degrade our humanity. So we need covenant eyes to block these pornographic sites and advertisements from infiltrating our lives. Covenant Eyes helps us take custody of our eyes and custody of our intellect. So I recommend you go to covenanteyes.com and type in the promo code VMPR to support the network. Protect yourself and your family from the imminent threats on the internet. www.covenanteyes.com, code VMPR. Live porn free. Thank you for listening to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Thank you. God bless you. Keep the faith.
Healthcare news today seems to be coming from everywhere and everyone. It's confusing, at least, and untrustworthy at the worst. Dr. Aceta is a faithful Catholic in the Kern County community. He is trustworthy, well-researched, and will only give expert opinion on matters in his own specialty. Catholic teaching at its entirety is of utmost importance to Dr. Aceta. Give Dr. Aceta a call for your obstetrics and gynecological needs at 661-695-6617.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow, that's 80%. RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Jesus 911, we are back. Two-man car, 10-8. We are interviewing, I am interviewing Fred Krause, a chaplain with the LA County Sheriff's Department, and I have him in studio to talk. We've been going over his conversion story and just his duties as a chaplain, and I think we're going to pick his brain here as to what goes on in the mind of deputies who are out there working in sometimes hostile conditions, and we see it out there in the streets. How do they go in day in and day out, Fred, continuing to do this job, underappreciated for the ungrateful?
That's a good question. It's a really, really good question. You know, you had mentioned earlier that things have gotten to the point where, you know, there's no respect for authority. There's no this, there's no that. This isn't new. I mean, you've been in law enforcement for 25 years.
31.
He looks young, so. Yeah. But, I mean, it's been like this. Over time, it's gradually just been getting worse and worse and worse. Mm-hmm. And it's to the point where it's completely out of control. It was out of control before these violent protests and everything that was happening. And it's already hard enough, the job that a deputy sheriff or a police officer has to do. When you see the police, you're encountering a human being who has a normal life, who has a spouse and possibly children. He has a mother, or she has a mother and a father, and they have family. They're just normal people. They're at work. And when they leave work, they want to go home and be with their family and live their lives. And when the public encounters them, it's usually not a positive encounter. Like when you encounter the police, it's usually a traumatic moment for you in your life. Something is happening where you needed to call the police. You know, it could be as something as a, you know, just you got pulled over for driving too fast or running a stop sign or something, or you know, a minor traffic collision where you needed a report. But it could be something more traumatic.
Yep.
And it's not a good day for you. You're not at your best. You know, and you have this person here who is here to help and do their job. And it's already challenging every aspect of what they do. And when you have a society based on law and order, which we appear to be losing today, you know, mm-hmm. I heard Jesse talk about it in a previous show, that, you know, the lack of the fathers in the home is a major cause of this, you know, that people aren't used to authority. And even parents who are in the home are raising their children to not respect authority. So when you encounter a police officer and they represent authority, mm-hmm. they're automatically challenged because there's no respect for authority. So people are already against everything that this officer stands for, which is good. God tells us, Paul tells us in Romans 13 that law enforcement officers are messengers of God for good, for our good. That's what they're there for. They're for our good, to help us, to keep us safe, to protect us, to serve us. And that's what they're doing. So it's really difficult. You kind of develop thick skin and you realize this, you know, as a deputy and as a peace officer. You know, you understand what you're going into. You know, after a few weeks on the job, you realize what this is really about. And so you learn how to, you know, operate in those kind of conditions. So you kind of develop a little bit harder of a heart. You know, you put up some walls, you know, and you're able to protect yourself, you know, emotionally, because if you didn't put up these walls, you know, how would you be able to even stand? I mean, we have our faith.
Yeah.
Not everybody has faith, right? So we have that. I don't know how anybody lives without,
right,
you know, a relationship with God. But I mean, I don't know how I would survive.
I tell people all the time that there's no way I could have done the job I did without my faith.
Amen.
Because it would be real easy to become jaded out there to think, well, you know, if they don't want to report this crime, you know, there's right. that not do not snitch rule out there, especially in the gang world. And so it's so frustrating because you're saying, well, your family member just got shot and you're not going to tell me the details or anything you saw. Sometimes it's hard to fathom.
Well, can I share a story with you real quick?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, so this happened in the mid-90s, you know, at the Lenox Station, when I really had my heart for the ministry, and we had gotten a call.
You're on a ride along.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it was 2735 now, which is domestic violence now. It's mm-hmm. happening. So a female victim is being beat by her male partner. Okay. So we arrive at the apartment complex, answering the 911 call, mm-hmm. and we can hear everything going on inside the apartment, and we can hear the hitting. We can hear everything happening, and we're pounding on the door. And she comes to the door to answer the door. She called us to be there. And she started swearing at us. Like, what are you doing here? You know, get out of here. You know, I'm thinking, we're here to help you. And so turns out deputy ends up contacting the suspect, detaining him, taking him into custody. And now the victim who called us is actually fighting us.
Yep.
Right? She doesn't want us to take him.
Right.
You know, because he's the sole provider for her home. She doesn't know what she's going to do now that this guy's in jail. He's her baby's mama. I mean, you know, she's his baby's mama, you know, and so they got a kid and all this stuff going on. So there's all kinds of dynamics.
Yeah.
She hates us. We're taking the person who is destroying her life.
Yeah.
Right. And beating her would possibly kill her. We're taking him out of that. We're protecting her in that situation. And she's attacking us for that. So we take the guy to jail. She's throwing things at us and everything when we're leaving, and we leave. So this is part of what my ministry was there at that time, and this is what I wanted to kind of show the deputies, is that after we booked him into the jail, I said, hey, let's go back to that apartment. I want to check on the girl. And they're like, okay. So we roll back, and this is one of my best friends, so he's acquiescing, right?
Yeah.
You know, he doesn't want to go back, right? So we knock on the door, and she's like, you know, she's screaming at us again, what do you guys want? And I just said, hey, we know that he's the provider for the home, and we want to make sure that you're okay. And is there anything that you need? Do you have groceries? Do you have milk? Do you have formula for the baby? Do you have this, that? And she started crying. She didn't know what to do, right? And I said, well, you just tell us what you need, and we're going to go get it for you, okay?
Wow.
And that's what we did. But you can see that whole dynamic,
yeah.
Right? So she went from the victim, and now we're the enemy,
mm-hmm.
right? And that deputy sheriff, all he experienced was the first half. And if we hadn't went back, he wouldn't know anything about that softer side of her.
Yep.
Right?
That's right.
But all he would have seen is like, man, here I am trying to help. I'm just responding to a call. I'm getting things thrown at me. You know, I'm saving her life.
Yeah.
You know, she declined medical attention. You know, the whole thing. So it's a tough, tough environment.
Yeah. I think I used to tell my trainees and the people I supervise, always leave them with the best impression you can. You know, if I had to pull somebody over because they match the description of a, let's say, a robbery suspect, or the car matched, and you know, I came out, you know, I had my gun out, and then they were offended. Maybe it wasn't the right person, but I took a minute to explain why I did what I did, just to kind of brush him off and clean him up. And I didn't want his next encounter with the deputy to go downhill because because of what I did, you know. So I would just take that extra moment just to explain things, and that goes a long way. And then, you know, they can understand. You see your point, you know. I might have even showed them the crime broadcast. Here's the picture. You know, your car.
Right.
Oh wow, okay. Because they think half the time they think we're making it up. You know. Right. Oh yeah, sure.
Right.
Yeah. hey, before we go any further, I got a message here from the office here. That's the public rosary that's being done in Los Angeles today at 2 o'clock over by the Father Junipero Serra statue where it was demolished. It's called Father Serra Park. And the intention is for the tearing down of the St. Serra statue. And, you know, their statues, the one in San Francisco was ripped down. I understand San Juan Capistrano has one. I believe the bishop was on his way there to see about moving it or getting it covered so it won't be destroyed or moving it to a different inside location. It's heartbreaking to see our beloved saints being just vandalized and it tears my heart, man. It breaks right here at my heart because I have such a devotion and veneration for our saints. Those are our older brothers and sisters in the faith. And we've got to stand up now, Catholics. It's going to get to the point where you're going to be standing guard outside your churches. They're not going to stop at the statues. They're going to start interrupting the mass, and then they'll start destroying the churches.
In the tabernacle.
Yep. And these people, they hate Jesus Christ. They hate his saints. They hate his mother. And it's going to get worse. You heard, and I mentioned it on the other show that radio personality or I don't even know who he is. It's Sean King is his name. Right. He's saying that we need to take down the white Jesus. So, you know, that was last show.
This actually ties in what you said about, you know, Saint Serra. Mm. He's a good man. He's a canonized saint.
Right.
Okay. And how does the public see him? You look at a peace officer. They're definitely not saints, okay? We're human,
yeah,
right? But they come and they represent the good, and they're being attacked because there's a misunderstanding about who that person really is. They're tearing down the statue because they don't understand who he is.
Right.
They don't know.
They tore down the Ulysses S. Grant statue who helped free during the Civil War to help emancipate the...
Ignorance is slaves. Astonishing.
Anyway... We'll be right back for our last and final segment with Fred Krause. Don't you want to hear this? All right.
Help the Helpless, a Minnesota St. Paul nonprofit organization chaired by Father of Tyr and volunteers, is humbly asking you for your kind support to help the poor and the handicapped children in India and Ecuador. Through financial support from the Help of the Helpless benefactors, the children are provided with clothing, food, education, shelter, and the teachings of the Catholic Church. The mission is to help children thrive and become self-sufficient young adults leading productive lives. We also provide aid to poor families in Ecuador with food baskets, medicines, medical assistance, and help with funeral needs for the deceased. The work in India is done by Father Antonio's organization, St. Mary's. In Ecuador, the work is being done by the Servant Sisters of the Home of Mother. You can call us at 877-762-8857. To learn more, please visit our website, www.helpthehelpless.org. God bless you.
Hebrews 11:3 says, "By faith we come to understand." According to St. Augustine, understanding is the reward of faith. Therefore, seek not to understand that you may believe, but believe that you may understand. May God grant us a strong living faith in Him and His divine plan of salvation, and help us to believe so that we may understand.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow, that's 80%. RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
We're back, our fourth and final segment. And, you know, a verse comes to mind is very appropriate for this time. Psalm 94:16. Who rises up for me against the wicked? Who stands up for me against the evildoers? You know, those could be the saints that were mentioned with Father Sarah. These could be our law enforcement officers that are being demonized, that are being reviled, and so much hatred is being spewed at them. And also, Ephesians 5:11, take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. That's what we're doing out here. And Virgin Most Powerful, we are speaking truth. And you know, that's what the progressives hate the most, Fred, is they hate truth, because the truth and justice is not in their vocabulary. And you know, I'm gonna ask you a question. How do you share the faith with the you know, our first responders, our deputies out there, and to give them hope right now? The so many of them are struggling with depression because of you know, they got into this profession to help people, and now they go to work and they're the enemy. And so how do you bring hope to them, Fred?
Well, you know, first, what you just said, you know, about, you know, liberals and, you know, what they care about. And we just have to remember that the war that we're in is a spiritual war.
Absolutely.
The scripture says the wars that we wage are spiritual. And they're against spiritual forces of evil within the heavenly realms. So God is very aware, and he is fighting. And we have to do our part. So you know, we can't blame. I mean, obviously, people need to be held accountable for what they do and how they represent their communities as politicians. Obviously, that's what our vote is for, right?
Amen.
And we need to keep them accountable, but we need to pray. That is the most important thing, because you cannot win a spiritual war with your hands. You have to win a spiritual war on your knees. And we have to pray. So number one, most important thing. And when I, you know, even as a chaplain, you know, I'm experiencing some of these same things that these deputies are experiencing. But obviously I can walk away from it and go home, you know, because I'm not there every day. You know, this is a volunteer position that I do. So the depression, the frustration, anxiety, fear. I mean, can you imagine going to work and doing a really good job? You're sitting at your desk or whatever you do for a living, and you have the full intention of doing the best possible job you can do as a Catholic when you go to work today, and you're doing it and you're doing everything right, and you get fired.
Yep.
That's what these law enforcement officers are dealing with. They're going to work to support themselves and their families, and they don't know what to expect, because even if they do everything right, they can be, you know, disciplined, fired, arrested and prosecuted. We see what's happening throughout the country. So they just don't know what to do. And, you know, especially our Christian brothers in law enforcement, who know the calling that is upon their life from God to do this job, to work at all things wholeheartedly as if to the Lord, and to serve him and give it 100%. And so can you imagine that struggle that they're dealing with, where they know their responsibility that God has given them, and they want to do it, but they're afraid if they leave the station parking lot to do that, they could get fired, arrested, and prosecuted unjustly. So it's a tough thing. The most important thing to know is that God is all powerful. No one is stronger than God, and no spiritual force is stronger than God. And he is in absolute control, okay? We have free will, and that's what's causing all this drama, is our free will, right? So we need to know that God is all-knowing. He knows everything. He knows the thoughts and intentions of our hearts before we even think them or speak them, or our actions before we even do them. So he's all-knowing, he's aware, and he's all-powerful, and he can handle it, okay? So know that God is in control, and that gives us hope. He tells us in Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the plans that I have for you, plans to give you future and a hope, plans for your welfare and not your harm, for peace and not of evil," right? That's God's desire and plans for us. So don't despair. There's always hope. God is in control. And I mean, can you imagine what the apostles thought? You know, they're following Jesus around and he's God. And they kill him. They kill him and they put him in a tomb. Can you imagine what they were thinking? Oh my goodness, it's all over. What are we going to do now? Talk about despair.
Yep.
I mean, that's despair, right? But guess what God did? He rose from the dead. Okay? So he can do it and he will do it. We just have to be faithful and not lose hope, because our God is powerful and he's in control. He's going to allow our free will, but he will only allow certain things to happen to his children. You know, he will always protect us. Okay, so just don't ever lose hope. And I want to encourage you in that. And for my brothers and sisters in law enforcement, I just want to encourage you, you know, just be faithful. Do what God has called you to do, and just be wise and discerning, okay? Do your best. Give it everything you got that day, okay? Each day is going to be different, and you're going to know when you should give something and when you shouldn't, when it's healthy for you and when it's not healthy for you. And I just want to encourage you that God's got you. If you trust him, you confide in him, no one can snatch you out of his hand. Just remember that. So I just want to encourage you in that.
That's right, Fred. How can people show their support for their police and sheriffs? This speaking to the public, you know, because I spoke to a guy that I had used to work for me years ago in the jails, and I just picked up the phone, called him just to reconnect, and he had to retire early because of a back injury, and he just shared with me. He says, "Remember, we used to have those good conversations," and he wasn't a practicing Catholic. I found out that he was in fact Catholic, but he just told me, "Fred, you know, I just want to thank you for." I had been away from my mom. I hadn't been separated from her. I had not been talking to her for several years. And you encouraged me to get back and talk with her and reconnect with her and, you know, and forgive her. And he said, you know, I took your advice and I went back and I got back with my mom, connected with my mom. And shortly thereafter, she passed away. And it's because I'll never forget, you know, that what you did for me. And so, you know, that's something that, more than all the arrests, the good arrests that I made, these by far are more important to me when I hear stories like that.
Absolutely.
You know, so.
Well, what I would say is that, okay, what law enforcement sees, because the 24-hour news cycle, social media, all they see is everybody that hates them and that is against them. But that's not the reality. The reality is there's millions and millions of more people that actually admire and respect and appreciate them.
Good point.
So if we could get those people to actually come out and say, I appreciate you.
Yep.
Thank you. Thank you for the sacrifices you make. Please don't quit. We need you. Without you, you're the keeper of the gates. Without you, who's going to keep us safe? Right? And if you let these officers know that, how much you appreciate them and understand and let them know you need them. I think if more people did that, the good would outweigh all of this nonsense that the media wants us to see that is just such a small portion of reality.
Amen.
You know?
You know, we're called in Exodus 23, 1 to 3, it says, you shall not spread a false report. You shall not join hands with a wicked man to be a malicious witness. You shall not fall in with many to do evil, nor shall you bear witness in a lawsuit siding with the many so as to pervert justice, nor shall you be partial to a poor man in his lawsuit. So, you know, we have to seek the truth, and we can't be falling in line with people who are do not have the do not want justice or the truth to come forward. But Fred, in our closing moments here, how can people get a hold of you? And I want to give a plug for Fred's business, because his nutritional supplements are outstanding. I use them. Fred, just go ahead and tell the audience where they can get a hold of you. Maybe
You can email me at catholicfred@gmail.com, catholicfred@gmail.com. And I have a nutritional supplement company this is our 19th year in business.
Wow.
And, you know, we're national. We have our products all over the country before the internet was even active. Mm-hmm. But that's what supports me and my family and my ministry. So if you could help, if you're using any vitamins or protein powders or diet or sports products, give me a shot. It's ppnonline.com. That's PPN, so Paul Nancy, online.com. And for all of our listeners, if I'm assuming that a lot of them are law enforcement, they can just use LEOVIP. That's LEOVIP as a coupon code when they check out online, and it'll give you 25% off everything on the site.
Ops, outstanding. Fred, that's any closing thoughts, Fred? I'm going to give you some closing thoughts on today. Really appreciate you being here.
You know
here.
What? It's just my heart's heavy as a chaplain and as a human being. And I just grieve for the state of our nation and people's hearts and just the amount of hate that is out there, and especially just focused on law enforcement. So Jesus said, by this you will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. I just want to encourage you, let's let our light so shine that people may see our good works and bring glory to our Father in heaven.
Amen.
You know, just let our light shine.
Yeah, our faith doesn't allow us to be racist. Our faith doesn't allow us to be hateful. Our faith doesn't... We got to love one another as Christ commands us. And I really appreciate you joining me today, Fred.
Thanks for having me, man.
This is, in my estimation, it was a great show. And stay tuned for Hands-On Apologetics with Gary Mishuta from the Midwest Command Center. Thank you for listening. Have a great day. Pray your rosary. Stay close to the sacraments. Do some fasting for our nation. Love you. Take care. And 7.
St. Faustina's Prayer for Priests. O my Jesus, I beg thee on behalf of the whole Church, grant it love and the light of thy Spirit, and give power to the words of priests, so that hardened hearts might be brought to repentance and return to thee, O Lord. Lord, give us holy priests. Thou thyself maintain them in holiness. O divine and great High Priest, may the power of thy mercy accompany them everywhere, and protect them from the devil's traps and snares, which are continually being set for the souls of priests. May the power of thy mercy, O Lord, shatter and bring to naught all that might tarnish the sanctity of priests. For thou canst do all things. Amen. Virgin most powerful, pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful Radio, sharing the gospel with clarity and charity.